Here we go. Bam.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
It was with my mouth.
Here's the bathroom.
Well, you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Limousine Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no fuddy-duddies at a Lincoln Path. For the stream link, go direct to dlngs.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1004 of the Links Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Finally, some nice weather.
How about it? And we have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
It's really freaking humid.
And, yeah. It's not humid here. It's nice here.
It ain't nice here.
It's nice here, too. It's 71 degrees out.
Look, everybody's got swass here, okay?
Yeah. So I learned some lessons this past week that were not fun. This one surprised me. So I was setting up a new repo for a cloud function that was being produced, and they wanted to basically take what was done in another one and use that as the base and carry on. So my thought was, I'm going to use Git Archive. And what Git Archive does is it will export out your repository without the GitHub stuff in it, right? That was my understanding. So you're not going to get like all the GitHub configuration files or anything related to the GitHub stuff, Git stuff. And what I didn't know is that if you had, my thought was it was just going to take the repo files, strip out the GitHub stuff, Git stuff, and export them to where you told it to. And it does it, it could do zip or tar. Or gzip tar or whatever. So I did gzip tar. And what I didn't realize is what it actually does is take all of the files that are in the repo directory and export them out. So even files that are not part of the repository, like you've never committed, if they're in there, it will include those files in there. And that surprised me because I thought that that wasn't the case. I thought it was only the files and the repository. So just be aware of that, especially if your application, you might have a feature in that application where it pulls secrets from somewhere and writes them out to a file for some reason, and they could get included. Not necessarily saying that that is what happened, but
did you violate an NDA or three?
No, at least our, security.
It only counts as a violation if somebody catches it.
Security by obscurity, that all our repositories are private, and this one thing that ended up getting leaked was a development thing, so it wasn't our production. So I mean, I'm not going to necessarily say it got, it was a serious leak. It was into a private repo, and then it was just removed. But I didn't even notice it because I didn't even expect that that file would have been in there. And I didn't even expect that it would include all those files. As a matter of fact, I don't think it included it. Maybe it's because I didn't build it. I don't know. Anyway, that's just something to be aware of when you're running Git Archive, that it will include files that are not actually part of the archive. Git repo, if they're in there. I almost it almost all fell apart with the workload identity stuff this week. It was coming along pretty well. I presented everything to the team. The one thing that wasn't liked is that there's two things that we're not pleased with. The first was that initially, as it was set up, the service accounts that we were using, had to be newly created service accounts, and we could not use those for impersonation. We could use the old service accounts that were currently being used for impersonation, and that worked fine. The second thing was that before, when you would go to run the application, it would just reach out to our vault, pull the service account down, and initialize that so that was made accessible to the application. When in the environmental variable was written, it was told the application what it was. This way, the Google preferred or recommended workflow is account impersonation or default login, application default login. And it's really simple. And I wrote up like all our scripts because we use npm with package JSON scripts in there. And then it was just like a matter of running the right thing, like npm run start local. If you wanted to run the production build of the application locally into the dev environment, then that would call the gCloud application to do the authentication, which requires a second, like once it initializes, it brings up the login page in your browser and verifies. Like if you've used any Google services in the past, typically when you go to the Google service, and I'm going to say, it will ask you what account you want to use. If you're like logged in and you're trying to access another service, it may ask you, is this the account that you want to use? And you just click yes. And that's exactly what it does. So it provided that little extra step that it opened up that browser and then you have to click on the account that you want to use. And then it says, are you sure you want to do this? And you hit yes. And then it initializes it. And then when you close the application, it reverts it and sets you back to your regular account in your environment. So you're no longer doing the account impersonation. Some people didn't like that they had to do that extra step, right? But you know, what are you going to do? There's no way I can get around that. What I did find out is, you know, in talking with our platform engineering team, I was made aware of that there's now a version 2.0 of the module, which allows us to link the workload identity account in the cluster to our existing service account in our project. And then that just opened the door right there. So that was beautiful. That worked perfectly. No need to create new service accounts. We could use the exact service account and local development that we're going to use in the development environment. And then we can also use that service account in the GitHub workflow for when we want to do end-to-end integration testing, because we have to run the application in there. And it worked perfectly. I mean, I was able to get all this stuff done, deploy it in our development cluster, and that was working just great. So it was really excited about that. The only downside is that extra level of confirmation on switching to using that account. But it's a lot more secure than it used to be. You don't have to muck around with credentials being passed back and forth or copied into different locations. It reduces leaks and security risks and accidental exposures immensely, like I talked about before. So that was good. And then like I was riding that high for the past day and a half, getting things all together. And today, after gosh, a month and a half of waiting, we finally got the green light to go ahead and move forward with upgrading to WordPress 6.1.1 in our production environment for our CMS, and this had been running in development, oh my gosh, for over a month, and in staging for a month, and it is something that I had to put together, do some work and a lot of testing to verify that the 6.1.1 is not going to have issues with our customizations that are applied. And sure enough, we had issues. Yeah. And it was a crazy problem. Like, it worked perfectly in development as far as we knew. It worked staging. It was in those environments for so long. We push it to production and like the stupidest thing broke. It was lists. Like, and I was like, so when they told me there was a problem, I'm like, what do you mean there's a problem with lists? Do you mean with our customizations? And they're like, no, this isn't customization. I mean, you mean our, cause we have an application called Content Lists. And I was like, is it with the integration with Content Lists? No, it's actually the actual list block in the editor, broke in that when you went to create a list, ordered or unordered, it would allow you to enter the first item. And then when you pressed enter to add another item, it wouldn't work. It just, nothing happened. And you could not add another item to the list. And so I was baffled. And
could you add multiple items at one time?
No, you couldn't. You could only add just one. And the thing is, this is like, this wasn't a customization that we had. This was a standard part of the WordPress block editor, right? So this wasn't any customization, but when it dug deeper into it, started looking around, like it wasn't throwing any errors. It just wouldn't allow you to add anything other than the first item. You could add you could create a sub list under it, and in that sub list that you could add one item. You can add a second item, right?
And of course, so, it's in production, and you got to fix it right away.
Well, this was in the production, and by the time it got back to me and all this, they were already reverting that change back, right? They back to 6.0.0.0, and so I started looking around, playing around with it, and so kind of like two things frosted me about this. One, this thing had been in like our development and staging environments for over a month and nobody noticed this, right? So I'm like, that means our like testing process is flawed. And yep. I have nobody to blame but myself because this was my project and this is what I did. And it never dawned on me. Like I tested all of our customized plugins and stuff like that and our blocks and all that stuff. I tested all that out and a whole bunch of other stuff. It never dawned on me to test like that list, just a list.
Stupid, pointless little thing,
right? Yeah, it was like, I didn't even think about it because I'm like, well, I tested all our other stuff. Why would that break? And so I dug around and saw that there was a posting a few months back. I think it was in January or was it in December? I don't know. That somebody had the exact same problem that we did. They're like, you can't add another item to the list. You can only add the first thing. And they were like, what the hell is going on? And interestingly enough, one guy posted after like, I guess a support person was requesting more information. Another guy came along and said, we had this exact same problem, blah, blah, blah. And this is how we fixed it. And the guy's like, and the moderator or the support person is like, you should open up another topic and not, you know, change, like include your stuff on this. Just open up another topic. But I don't know why they said that because this, what he posted addressed the problem exactly. And then it was just filled with other people responding to this thing and saying, yeah, you solved the problem. Thanks a lot. This was the problem. This was the problem. So what it turned out was that, the people who had a custom theme that were doing filtering on block items is where the problem came into play, because you can filter out all the blocks and then tell it what block items you want included. And one of the block items is a core list, which allows you to create a list block, right? But then with 6.1.0 or 6.1.1, they further augmented that to include the core, not just the core list, but another one called core list item. So if you had filtered out everything and only enabled core list and didn't also have core list item in there, you could create a list block, but you couldn't create list items, other than the first one. And that was the problem, which it was a simple fix, but we had already rolled everything back and pissed people off in the production environment over this. So it's not like we could have just rolled it back out again. So now we got to go back to the drawing board and rerun all our tests and verify that there's not anything else in there. But to me, it didn't really make sense. And I'm wondering if the reason why they did this is, I believe I was reading in conjunction with this, that they had enhanced the list block to better support sublist items, which I'm not really 100% sure how it worked before this, but I guess there were some issues with if you wanted to create a nested list on an existing list or a sublist, whatever. But to me, this kind of felt like, well, you can enable the core table block, but if you don't allow the core table column and core table rows, you can't create rows and columns in your table. At which point you're like, well, why the fuck have a core table block, right? Like, that's stupid. If you're going to enable the table block, why wouldn't you also have the column and row block enabled? Like, why restrict it? If you're going to enable the list block, why do you have to enable the list item at the same time? That's not intuitive to me. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, so that frosted my Pop-Tart today, and it was an unfortunate end to what was turning out to be a rather happy day. Let's put it that way.
I hate that when it happens.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess the last thing to cap off with, I'll say, of what I learned in the past week is, so we had to do this training, and this was due last week, and it's one of these awfully long trainings on, what is it? The open web security something. OSWAB, OS, I think it's OSWAB.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
I think I have. It's one of those things where you just click on things and answer questions and crap.
So it's the Open Worldwide Application Security Project. And, and so what it consists of, it's like the top 10 issues that were identified in their survey and kind of like, you know, what you need to do, what you need to be aware of and what you need to do. And like, so it's broken down into like these 12 parts. And each part is like an 8 to 15 minute video about that topic. And then you have to answer like a little quiz question. And hands overall, I think it's really good, right? It's the content and the message and everything is good. I felt the application of the questions was not good at all. Like, one of the first ones was about encryption standards or encryption. Right. And basically the idea is be up to date on encryption and what the best practices are, and make sure you're not like, don't roll your own, follow the industry standard practices, and make sure you're using the most up to date protocols and encryption standards and everything, which makes sense, right? And so that's kind of the message that you take away from this. And they provide little examples in there. They're like, you know, here's an application and they're using DES something and something. And it's like, it's a better practice to use more up to date encryption methods because that was created a long time ago. And with more powerful computers and processing, there's a risk of some of that possibly being able to be cracked. So go ahead and use AES. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. You know, that makes sense. Then they give you a question that's like, which one of these encryption methods is better? Is it AES with this and this, or is it AES with this and this? And I'm like, we didn't even fucking cover like that. Like, the idea was...
You should have all the encryptions memorized all on your own, man. Come on.
Right.
Well, I guess that's what they expected, but they didn't cover that at all in here. They're just basically saying, make sure you're up to, you know, you keep up with the standards and stuff like that. And then they ask you a specific question on what are the current up-to-date standards.
Some random standard that, yeah.
Yeah, like, come on.
Has been out for 15 minutes.
And that's what, like, all the questions were like. Going in. Here's like, instead of asking you about the concepts and what you take away from this course, they're like, well, we want you to apply these concepts right now and tell us what it is that's the right answer. Like, we didn't even study that. But overall, I think it's pretty cool and it has me thinking a lot about how we do some
stuff. At least
it was
multiple choice.
Yeah, it's one of those multiple choices. Also, it's another one of those multiple choices where, like, each answer is worded maybe a little differently. You know what I mean?
If you even did know it, you could easily pick the wrong one because it was just close enough.
Yeah. And so, like, I was watching the video. And I had the transcript on too, cause somebody, it's like, I didn't do this, but people were saying, just open the video, copy the transcript into a text document, and then you can use that to answer the questions. And
like with the mandatory trainings we have at my work, you don't have to watch the videos if you can get to the transcript.
Right.
Cause they will make it so you can't skip ahead. Unless you watch the entire video, unless of course you bring up the transcript. And then, like, most of the tests are just like repeats from the year before, and I will usually score at least enough to pass. Not really even looking at it all that hard.
Uh-huh.
And, they'll let you retake it as many times as you need to, and they'll let you copy the answers that come out the first time, and if you get one wrong, it'll tell you that one's wrong, so.
And
you know which ones are the right ones.
Game it.
Yeah, this is kind of just like that, and I could do that, but I didn't. I actually listened to the video. I listened to it at 1.5 speed, while I was reading the transcript. And the problem with the transcript was that it was auto-generated transcript.
Ah.
Which, I'm like, they're trying to describe, like acronyms for stuff. And I'm like, wait, what? What is the acronym? Is it D-bar? Is it the bar? Is it D4? I don't know. Cause the transcript could not get these acronyms right.
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 And I couldn't tell what was what on them half the time. But anyway, so that kind of frustrated me. Anyway, that's what I did tomorrow. I hope to cap off this workload identity thing and get this pushed out and move on to other stuff like fixing WordPress. But fun. Oh, before I forget, Joel, I'm sure you probably saw this. I got the email I noticed today. Southeast Linux Fest is happening. 2023. It will be in the usual place, if I'm not mistaken.
What's June the usual 9th place?
To 11th. And
in Georgia?
No, it's not in Georgia. It's in North Carolina.
How do you call that south?
It's in southeast. It's southeast. It's, I don't know.
At least put it in Florida.
Now, I'm assuming, just looking
I'm
at this.
I'm not going this year. I'm going to do another thing, but I'm not going this year. But the theme is Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the theme is Ghostbusters, and it is in, okay, yeah, it's at the Charlotte Airport Hotel. Sheraton Charlotte Airport Hotel is the same place it's been the past couple of years.
Yep.
When?
9th to the 11th.
Of?
June. The theme is Ghostbusters. They're going to have a LAN party, the usual stuff, LAN party, ham radio, special event for you, Joel.
I think I'll be in Florida at that time.
Well, that's only like I'm going to say you got to go
2 day drive,
Georgia, probably a 10 hour drive, maybe.
I'm good.
So yeah, they're going to have, ham radio license exams, an attendee lounge.
Do you still have to, know Morse code for your ham?
Joel, I'm assuming you do.
Nope. No requirement, not even for the maximum license, the extra class. Cool. It is Histoire. So.
Why? How come they don't do that anymore?
Cause it's old. One of the big reasons they always used to do it was in bad conditions, Morse code's gonna get through more often than single sideband. But now there's digital protocols like FT8. I'm trying to remember. There's another one that's starting to become hot. But there are less that actually do better than Morse code in bad propagation. So it's kind of been replaced by some of the digital modes. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's still a lot of people that use it. Repeaters will generally have their repeater ID in Morse code because that's acceptable. Sometimes, especially, usually, now, like some of the repeaters in this area, they'll do a voice announcement for the call sign because you have to identify the repeater every 10 minutes, just like you do, you know, if you were just talking simplex. All right. But if you are in the middle of talking and it's time for the repeater to ID, then it will play it over your voice in Morse code usually. So, but it's just not used anymore. But yeah, I wish I could go to everything that I could possibly want to go to, like Self, Scale, Murph, VCF Midwest, all these different things. But
maybe when you retire.
Yeah, I'll get a RV too, so I don't have to dick with hotel costs. But
when you're 73,
yeah, it's probably gonna be that long too. Christ, but
and on your fourth heart attack.
Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully not. Anywho, Google had an event today, and they announced some cool stuff, cool hardware, expensive hardware.
7A.
The 7A, which is actually $499, I think. Yeah, $499. Basically, it's just a upgraded version of the 6A with Pixel 7 innards. So, and the big ones were the Fold, which is their folding phone. They have
a folding phone called the Fold, just like Samsung.
Pixel Fold.
So instead of the Galaxy Fold, it's the Pixel Fold?
Correct.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and it starts at
17.99.
Mm. Yeah.
Right up there in price with the freaking Samsung One too.
Yeah. But it has a 7.6 inch display. The external display is 5.8 inch. It's got like a total of 8 cameras.
Well, I bet the internals are better on the Samsung One too.
That's a good question. I don't know. It's got the Tensor G2, which is the same chip as the Pixel 7 Pro. So I don't know. The 48 megapixel main camera, 10.8 megapixel telephoto, and ultra wide lenses, and 8 megapixel.
I mean, the stats sound great.
Yeah, the stats sound pretty good. I don't know if I want to spend $17.99.
I don't want to spend $17.99. Well, and
the other thing too that kind of annoys me about it is that now it doesn't look as pronounced, and I want to see this in person first, but it still has a crease, and that's, to me, it's unacceptable.
Well, yeah, it's going to have a crease, but the question is how quality is the crease? How long does it survive? How many bands?
Right. Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about with it too. I can't afford to buy more than one phone. Like, I have some friends that actually do buy more than one phone, and I'm not going to do that. But
like the threes, the Fold threes, the Samsung Fold threes, not the
right
Pixel Fold or whatever.
They're failing, weren't they?
Well, the screens, they're starting. You see a lot of them with that fold in the middle that's starting to like rise up.
Right.
Oh, and I haven't seen it with the fours yet, but
I have a simple question about those. Do they make a screen protector that folds too?
Your soft screen protectors?
Yeah, I think they have a built-in one. It comes with one. Kind of like Samsung's did. But especially since the internal screen is essentially not glass, it's plastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So the external screen would have that on it, but
I wonder if you can get like a warranty replacement on that screen.
Right.
So if I buy one that's got a messed up screen and I use it for a day or two, it would then be covered by my insurance. Could I then go and pay like $30 to $60 and have the screen replaced?
Right. But for me, the more exciting device they announced today was the Pixel tablet. It's $499.
It's only a half inch bigger than their phone.
And no, it's still bigger than that. But $499 gets you 128 gigabytes Tensor G2, then the M2 chip also as well.
Than most of the phones.
11-inch screen. That is, let me see if I can find a resolution. I should probably go to the
probably
store.
Pretty
I'm
nice.
Actually looking at the engagement. Yeah, it's got a really good resolution. But the speaker dock that we've known that's been coming as a part of, or as an accessory to it, actually comes with it for $499.
That turns it into a Google Home.
Yes.
And it never moves.
No, I mean, you can pick it up. I'm sure.
You can.
Great.
I'm just saying you won't.
Right.
It'll stay in the dock forever. It might get used as a TV, but mostly it'll get used as a radio.
Maybe. Well, one kind of cool thing is that you can Chromecast to the Pixel tablet. So I guess you can use your phone as a remote. They have designed like a pretty decent little case that you can put it in. It has like a metal ring in the back for a stand, like when you're not near the speaker dock. And the great thing is you don't have to take it out of the case to put it back on the speaker dock, which is kind of nice. And they are going to sell the speaker dock separately. So if you can have like, for example, my case, if I bought, I might only start off with the default one, but then buy another one for my office so I can have one downstairs.
You're buying
one upstairs.
More toys?
I didn't say I'm pre-ordering this. Again, like the Pixel Fold, I want to see this in person first.
Before you buy your next toy.
Right. But So it probably wouldn't happen till Christmas for me anyway, if I buy anything like that. But it does have stylus support. I don't think it comes with one. But it sounds pretty interesting. I'm kind of interested in it. I do have the home hub downstairs, which is the original one, not the newer ones. Ah, there's one I wanted, the text. See if I can't get the full. It only has one kind of underwhelming thing.
I still don't see the point of getting an 11-inch Android tablet.
Well, therein lies some of the questions there. Yeah, I mean, it'd be better if there was a effort to actually make Android apps work a little better on a larger screen, you know, instead of just blowing up the phone app, which is essentially what it is still.
Yeah.
But it did, like, for me, my main reasons for using a tablet is consumption. So I'm not going to care, you know, if the app doesn't scale up, as long as the video can be shown full screen, and of course it can, then I don't really care too much about how some of the apps work. But there we go. It's the screen is 2560 by 1600, 276 pixels per inch, 16 by 10 aspect ratio, 500 nits of brightness. It's got an anti-smudge coating. It supports USI 2 stylus pen, so yeah, it doesn't come with it.
Supports it, doesn't come with it.
The stylus, of course. To be honest, though, I have the Apple Pencil for my iPad. I don't use it that often, so.
So you have an iPad, but you're going to get yourself another tablet.
Yeah, my iPad's like 2-3 years old now, so.
Oh my gosh, 2 or 3 years!
Right? No.
Horrible!
That's correct. Tensor G2 and a Titan M2. That's a security coprocessor.
Wait, you don't buy a new iPad every year?
Hell to the no. I lived in the apartment when I bought this one. But they also announced, like, you know, since Tensor G2 and the Tensor G1, which is what my Pixel 6 Pro has, you know, they have some AI features built into the processor. So there's a lot of local AI kind of things happening. Pall Mall Gal, which is their language model, sounded pretty interesting. They're gonna start to add those things to, Google Sheets, Google Docs, so on and so forth. And there might be some cloud things in there too. But the Palm PALM or Palm 2 AI model is what they're going with. I assume that's what's going with a Google Bard. They have announced APIs for Google Bard. So I think in a year or two, Dan will start to use some of those probably. Since his shop's on the Google.
What is that?
Palm ML. Palm 2 AI model. And Bard. That's what's working with Bard. Says, and Bard can generate JavaScript and Python code. Which is kind of cool. Bard, you know, they did talk a little bit more about our Bard, and they're doing work with AI and photos and workspace. I think there was something else too. Oh, Wear OS, the next version of Wear OS, they showed a little bit, which I'll get to check out on my Pixel Watch, which I like very much so far. But nice, cool stuff at Google I.O. I'm wondering when the Pixel 8 is going to be announced, or the Pixel 8 Pro, because that's probably maybe my next phone. It just depends on if I decide to wait or not. I am the kind of guy that will get a new phone whenever I can. So, not like Dan, who will use his phone until it falls apart.
Hey, phones ain't cheap, man. I gotta get
right,
my use out of it.
True.
I still got the Note 10 Plus.
I'll have
is that
my
still
phone
getting updates,
and
though?
The rest of my family will go through two phones still, apiece.
It's still getting updates.
Cool. That, Alice, that's something that kind of grinds my gears a little bit too right now, because it looks like Verizon's going back to their old bad habits of hamstringing the updates. They released the May update for the Pixel devices on the 1st, which is the first Monday, which is that's their normal cadence. They were late last month for all of them. But, of course, Verizon is still holding it back for whatever reason. I haven't gotten it yet. I probably sideload no. Here's the crazy thing, because they were late on their April update. The April update for Verizon did not come out until the end of April. And I think the update that's on the website now in the Pixel 6 Pro section, the Raven section on their OTA page, the OTA file for that update, for the one that came out for this month, was built first. And they built the one for the Verizon one later, so because that one's newer, the one that's on the website now, I can't sideload. It won't let you sideload it. So I gotta wait till Verizon blesses the update and sends the May updates out. The only thing I really care about on those is not enhancements and bug fixes, but security. You know, you gotta think your phone has a lot of stuff on it that you probably don't want out. You know, like your contact lists and stuff like that. Pictures. But I'll get it when I get it. I can't complain. It's still working okay. So, and it's not like I do dumb things on the phone like maybe our parents would do.
Yeah, I'm gonna be running the Note 10 Plus for a while.
Yeah.
Because prices are nuts.
Save your pennies.
Pretty much.
Buy one outright.
Well, no, I'll probably have to finance the next one too. But, I spend a little bit more on my phones to make sure that I get a good quality phone.
Yes.
But I use it for work.
Yeah. Work won't buy you one?
Actually, work is going to have me get one now, so I will be carrying two
phones. There you go.
But most likely, on most days, my work phone will just be forwarded to my cell phone, so I'd only have to carry one.
You know, I probably should look into doing that. Granted, I have an iPhone for my work phone.
God, I hope they don't give me an iPhone.
They probably will.
Maybe they will. All it's going to do is charge then.
Right. Well, mine's at my desk most days anyway. Unless I'm on call, then I take it with me.
I mean, last time I had a work phone. I think it was an S3.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to say it was a Nextel. That was the last time I had a work phone.
Oh, it was an S3.
I'd actually prefer the Nextel for a work phone because it's like, you know, it's smaller.
Yeah, but the phone I had before the Note 10 Plus was the S7. So I guess I do keep my phones for a good long time.
It's like talking with some folks at church, and I literally recommended that, you know, they had a new, their computer was getting really old. It was a Windows machine. And they were asking me about my iPad, and I said, well, yeah, you can do pretty much anything you want on an iPad. You know, you're going to have some issues. You know, you probably want to get the keyboard and all that. But the thing is, the iPad's going to cost you more. So I said, what I would recommend for you, if all you do is read email and browse the web, is to get a Chromebook. I don't think Chromebooks will, I mean, I know Dan's family has had a couple of them, but for at least for us, I don't think Chromebooks will do it for us.
Well, but I understand the concept of a Chromebook, and when they came out, I understood the lower cost of a Chromebook. But any more, considering the stats and the price,
well, it depends, right?
You're just paying to, you know, cripple yourself.
Yes, in some cases, unless you know what you're doing.
My family's, a lot of us still use Chromebooks in the house.
I can understand that concept. It's just, you know, for most of us, paying the price for a Chromebook is not worth it.
I mean, I essentially use my Chromebook for recipes in the kitchen and something to watch, like, play videos and stuff while I'm cooking. That's essentially all I use it for these days. Now the kids, or I should say my daughter has a Chromebook for school. My wife has a Chromebook for her
And
her
what
class.
I'm saying is I can pay the exact same price for a Dell Venue 11 Pro or a Dell Latitude, one of the tablet models, and put Linux on it and have more of an operating system and still be able to do everything that those Chromebooks can do.
And I agree with you, but, you know,
we're talking about,
yeah, that's not for everybody. I get that.
Right. People who just want to use their computer. They don't want to have to know what a command line is. They don't want to have to install applications. They just want to use their computer.
Yeah, but I
Chromebook
generally don't
is
like
excellent
talking to
for
those
people. Well, you know, sometimes you live with those
barring
people.
Barring some exceptions.
Right. Because I'll agree with you. I mean, because I'm looking at the Chromebook section. It's not on the Google store. It's google.com/Chromebook/discover. And they're like $400. It's like, well, it's not that much more to get a computer, a real computer.
Exactly.
So, and you can leave Windows on it if you want, but, you know. But the thing is, you know, these ones, you use your Google credentials to get in it. People know what Google is. They understand it. You know, they don't understand Linux. You know, I've tried, like,
they don't understand Windows either.
Well, you know what? I'm agreeing with you there, Dan, but. But we'll see.
You could probably say in most cases, if somebody could use a Chromebook, they could use a Windows machine, they could use a MacBook, or they could use a Linux-based machine too. If all they're doing is just web browsing,
right? They don't want to have to
everything
worry
out
about
of the browser.
But they don't want to have to worry about Windows updates and stuff like that. And Chromebooks, you don't have to deal with that. I mean.
No, you don't, but you still have to, you know,
it's automatic
to get updated.
Yeah, it's automatic, though.
And then once it gets to a certain point, it'll tell you, you need to free up all this space and do all this crappy shit to get it updated. Good luck.
And then one day it won't get updates anymore.
Right.
Truth.
One day the hardware won't be in the kernel anymore.
That's anything, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true-ish, unless you do your own maintenance.
I mean, I think essentially the nicest thing about Chromebook for the general population is that you don't get a lot of choice on there. You got that one icon.
Right.
And everything runs through the freaking browser. And then if you're a little more savvy, you have a Chromebook that supports it, you can maybe get some Android apps on there or something like that, or Linux apps.
Yeah.
And then
you can run full on Linux if it's some of them that will. What's that application called that you have to install to be able to?
Crouton, I think.
Crouton,
is it?
There you go.
Yeah.
Which I have on my, I did have on my Chromebook upstairs, but then an update, and I gotta do the next update and clean stuff up on it, because it keeps telling me it doesn't have enough space on it. Like, how the fuck would you not have space? I don't even have anything on it.
But why would I buy a Chromebook just to put Crouton on it and run Linux? Now, if I got handed a Chromebook, that's a whole different story.
Right.
But I'm not going to spend the $400 to get a Chromebook when I can spend $150 and get a really good used Dell tablet.
Right. Now, the lowest price Chromebook on Amazon is $149.89.
And it's probably an Edsel.
It's an Intel Celeron N3350.
Yeah, it's hot garbage.
2.4 gigahertz.
It's not even hot garbage. It's cold garbage.
Yeah. 2.4 gigahertz, 4 gig of RAM, 32 gigabyte eMMC, 802.11 AC, Bluetooth, USB 3.1, webcam, Chrome OS, Type-C hub. That's a renewed one.
It's like 5 years old.
Likely. That said, I do want to go take a look at, Apple's website. They started, selling refurbed, M1, MacBooks.
That could be fun.
2023 versions, not like 2022 versions. So like returns that they've refurbished and made sure they looked good and comes with a year warranty just like the new ones do.
Well, what's it called? Asahi?
Asahi
Linux?
Oh, I don't know if that runs on the M1 yet or not. It might. But even then, those are not going to be cheap. But
you know my opinion.
Right. But I like Mac OS. I've been using, I'm on Ventura. I got all the, they must have changed their update policy at work. Cause that hot fix they just released last week, I got it right away, Dan. Didn't have to wait for corporate to bless it. It just came down.
Hot fix for what?
Ventura OS on Mac OS. On the iPad, it was like 14, or hold on, I'll look it up. They released updates for iPad, iPhone, and Mac OS. In the last week, a hot security update.
Oh, so you're on Ventura.
Yeah, I'm at work.
I'm laptop, still on Monterey.
Yeah. Are you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
iPad
know,
OS 16.4.1.
I don't know if you saw it. This was annoying. I went to go run, do something in Vagrant the other day, and it wouldn't let me do anything, and OS 10 kept popping up. Vagrant will destroy your system. And I'm like, what?
Oh, like I was using side.
And so, I mean, it's sure enough, simple thing had to be done. It's just had to upgrade Vagrant, right? To the latest version. But Like, that's the first time I ever saw that happen, that it physically prevented it from running and pops up a warning saying, it will destroy your system, you should remove it. And the same thing happened with Vault, too. I went to go run, you know, make sure I was logged into Vault because I had to do some stuff, and it comes up and it's like, Vault will destroy your system. I'm like, really? Do you have to? It's...
I've never seen something like that. Now, I have seen a case like when I open up a terminal session on my Mac to try an SSH into one of our servers. I don't very often use the Apple terminal to do that, but when I do, because our servers are a little, well, a lot of them are still on RHEL 6. Yeah, I know.
It complains about the encryption method.
Yeah, I can't find a encryption protocol to match up. Yeah.
And you have to like add another switch on there to tell it, don't worry about
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep. Well, that's, I also did the same thing. Like, we're going to start taking SAS tickets here. The projected date is that we start taking some of them is May 15th. It could get pushed out though, because we're finishing up our training this week, I think. But one of the things they have us do is we do a, they actually have a PuTTY package that does it, a lot of this stuff for them. But we have to hop off of the FortiGate and go onto the corporate AnyConnect, which we have both of those, right? And then, because now it's a little easier on a Windows machine. So they literally have everything, for Windows. But I had to set some of this up with my Mac, all right? And I walked through this with one of the SaaS guys from Bangalore and set up an SSH tunnel so that then we can – and it, there's one for each client, okay? Then we can open up a pgAdmin, which will talk to the Postgres database on Aurora DB on AWS. So, but we have to set up that secure tunnel first to do that. So, I actually wrote up a script. I got a script sitting in my home folder so that I don't have to remember the long ass SSH command because I ain't dumb. And I'll just create a different version of that script for each client. But our team will pretty much only get read-only access into that so that we can take a look at the figures, and then we can communicate up the chain and have the SAS admins do the data changes for us so we don't do it. So we're basically going to be middle management, right. I guess.
We're coming up on the end of the show, so.
We are.
Yeah. I'm just going to run through a couple of things here. So this last weekend, I was out working at, one of the polling places, helping one of my friends get elected to school board. He actually did win, but only by like 58 votes or something crazy like that out of the 7,000-ish votes that there were. So,
recount?
No recount. Not for a school board. No runoff, no anything like that. He just won. Which is good. He's a good guy. I'm glad he won. But I live in Allen, Texas, so I don't know if you guys heard what happened there.
I did.
So while that was going on, like 2 miles away, some guy with, you know, like neo-Nazi tattoos all over himself decided to go and shoot up a strip mall or an outlet mall. So, yeah.
So it was outdoor. It was a strip. I assumed it was an indoor mall.
No, It was more an outdoor. It's not like one giant building with you know, all the different stores in it. All the stores have outside doors, and that's how you get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah. That made for an interesting and sad weekend because, what, nine people died? Three of them were kids.
And the shooter, too.
Well, yeah, thankfully there was a cop nearby and kept it from being worse. But evidently this guy was dressed up in a security guard's uniform, wearing different badges and stuff, looked like you know, he was working. It looked like a security uniform. And just started opening up on people, on women and children.
I don't think they have a motive yet, but oh well.
He was a white supremacist prick. That was his fucking problem.
His motive, right.
He was Mexican, right?
He was.
Yes, his family was Hispanic. Catholic Hispanic.
Wow. He's a fucking psycho if he's murdering people. Innocent yep. people he doesn't know.
Yes.
Yep.
For all we know, he could be worshiping Satan.
Yep.
How far away is that from your house, did you say?
About 2 miles away from where we were at the polling place.
From where you're at. So that,
glorious.
That's not far from your house, then.
About 3 miles from the house. Yeah, 5-minute drive from where we were polling. I mean, we could have jumped on the freeway and been there in no time.
Yeah, that's why you should always carry all times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Texas, and
open carry is legal.
I'd be willing to bet that a surprising number of people were carrying at that strip mall, and it was the cop that responded, because as much as you want to talk about carrying a gun and being able to use it, most people require a certain amount of training to do the two things required to stop a situation like that. That's one, run towards the bullets, and two, actually take another human life. So it's not as easy as people want to say, good guy with a gun. Most people in that situation are not going to think to pull it and do something about the problem.
Well, if you have the choice of having it or not having it, I choose to have it.
Oh, I agree with you, but I'm just saying that that's not necessarily the solution.
And you train,
sure,
too.
You get cops running away, not doing shit.
And you get cops that also, you know, unload their entire clip and miss with every single round.
That too. You get it all. Mm-hmm. Runs the gamut.
Moral of it is you can't legislate out evil.
And training is good. Everybody, I'm all for training.
I'm yeah. all for everybody being everybody. Trained. Like literally everybody yep. being trained.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yep.
I'm also for background checks too, though. So
if I buy one, well, there is one. I mean,
they
you
have
get
background
one.
Checks. Yeah. Where don't they have background checks?
Right.
Well, okay. Licensing to actually, you know, conceal carrying.
When they do background, when you do, I don't know how it is in Texas, but in Pennsylvania, they do background checks. You have to list
federal firearms.
Multiple people as references that are not related to you, and they call them.
Correct. Yep.
I thought they reduced the laws in Texas and Florida for the requirements on background checks.
For concealed carry, I think, but not for, but not, and
concealed
I know.
Concealed carry, it's more stringent. They do a background check.
Well, there's a lot of guys that end up in situations like the guy was today where he legally bought the weapons, but shouldn't have been able to because he got sectioned out of the military.
Ohio used to have.
That's what sectioned means.
A test. And that you had to take to get the concealed carry permit, you no longer have to take that test. You probably can get the test and the training if you want, and I would advise that people do that, but it's no longer a requirement. But I haven't bought one yet.
What, a handgun?
Yeah.
I got shotguns for the house.
I will eventually, before they get made illegal.
I've got a 12-gauge and I got a 20-gauge. I mean, if nothing else, Jackie can use the 20-gauge easy enough.
Yeah.
Breach.
Yeah, I'll
put
a nice hole in you.
But, yeah, and it won't knock her on her ass. The 20-gauge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a rifle person. I know how to shoot a pistol. I'm proficient with all.
Honestly, I've had more experience with rifle than pistol, but I can shoot either one.
Yeah.
Right.
When it comes down to it, my pistol lets me get to my rifle.
That's
well,
right.
I've seen some pistols that I'd much rather have for close-up work. And if you're talking about, like, inside a house or something, then I'd much rather have a pistol. Or
yep.
Sawed-off shotgun.
Actually, in either way,
ARs, the 5.56 is actually very good for inside a house. Once it hits drywall, it loses the energy and it tumbles, so you don't get all the penetration that you actually get from handgun rounds, 9mm, 40, 45. So inside the house, a 5.56 is actually quite good.
It's good for not going through things and killing your neighbor. That I'll agree with. But is there other circumstances where you think something that's – well, do you want a fully automatic 5.56?
That's a pain in the ass to get.
Yeah.
It is.
a semi-automatic.
And why no one done. Has one?
But with a 30-round standard capacity magazine will do the job fine.
Right.
Yeah, it's easier to make a fully automatic than it is to, you know, buy one.
I'm not saying anything about that.
Right.
The kits are legal to buy. It's just you're not allowed to put the two things together.
That's right.
Yeah. Semi-auto's fine. It'll get the job done.
Yeah.
Well, that's what bump stocks are for.
Well, those are, I think there's a band now.
You don't need a bump stock.
You can use your finger.
I am familiar with the technique.
They're going to ban that. They're going to ban your finger, man.
And there you go. Common sense gun law reform. Yeah.
Look, it's probably easier to control the black powder than it is the actual weapons themselves.
Yep.
That was just a crappy situation, and I wanted to talk about a little bit about the gun laws the way we did, and that's good. I'm good with that now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a fucking tragedy. These motherfucking psychos need to be fucking put in the ground quickly.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with that. I will agree with that completely, but I think we still need something more than thoughts and prayers. I mean, you got a lot of people talking about we need to improve the mental health system here in the U.S. at the same time that they're cutting funding in Texas specifically for mental health.
And everybody should carry.
Yeah.
We're legal.
Yeah. And make sure keep these guys in jail once you catch them. Especially, you know, there's too many.
Look, this is Texas. You don't keep these guys in jail. You put them in the fast lane.
I know.
No, you put them in the fast lane for the electric chair.
Or that, you know, especially if they should. No, I'm talking about like
Texas toast.
There's guys that have been picked up multiple times for like all sorts of violent crimes that, you know, they get pulled in, they go back out on, after their bail's paid and do it again. It's like, you know, like the guy, you know, on the unfortunate situation with the guy in the New York City subway, you know, that guy was picked up at least 44 times. Why was he still out?
Because our mental health services suck?
Yep.
What the county doing? We got COVID money. Hold up. I'm going to hand the headset money to Jackie. She wants to tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is where it gets funny. We have I live in Collin County.
Right,
again, like the reddest county of Texas. We got COVID money, and everybody wanted to use it, well, the constituents and some of the nonprofit services through LifePass had asked for an increase during COVID to help cover getting more therapists and stuff like that. But our county commissioner, Mr. Hill, and his cronies all decided that they would decrease the amount given to a nonprofit LifePaths, which gives free mental health services to our county. And they would take that money and then repave the county jail parking lot.
Oh, isn't that peachy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sick of politicians on either side.
We've been, you know, we have a nonprofit that's, you know, used to squeezing every penny and nickel, and it asked for more so we'd have more services that, for mental health services, because they will even help you find. So, like, if you do have interest, they'll help you find somebody who's got openings. They will help you with children who are needing mental health services. They help with low income getting services. But they've been running on a penny budget.
Yeah, most of those places.
But he was up there in the church where they had our lovely vigil at the Cottonwood Baptist Mega Church, where they wouldn't allow media, except for theirs. And they all wanted to talk about thoughts and prayers. And anybody that was protesting, they didn't do it during the vigil. They all kind of stopped and everything. They then had them escorted off the property by the police department.
There's a reason I don't go to a mega church. Lots of reasons.
Huh?
I said, there's a reason I don't go to a mega church. Lots of reasons. That's one of them.
Well, because of that kind of stuff. This mega church is known for having a lot of extremist packs
yes.
come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the right wing extremists, including our bridge trolls, all go to church together there.
Of course.
Oh, do you guys don't know what bridge trolls are?
No, I know what they are.
Well, we have them in Allen, and they like to hang out on the overpass, and they like to fly their 2,000 mules flags and Trump for 2024, or, you know, they've had Nazi swastikas and F. Biden not covered up. Polite here.
Right.
Is that on a regular basis?
I-75. Huh?
Is that on a regular basis, like a daily thing? That's what they do?
No, it's usually every Friday through the weekend, as long as the weather is good.
Huh.
Doesn't surprise me.
They'll see them from right about Garland on I-75 all the way up to Frisco.
Of course.
At least they're getting their exercise.
I wish.
Mm-hmm.
You got to question some of the roundness.
Yeah.
But yeah, welcome to Allen.
Well,
we gotta wrap this thing up, man. It's 10
we
o'clock.
Do.
Joel's gonna pass out.
Let me hand you back to Joe then.
Right.
I'm not going to pass out. I'm going to cough my full head off.
I'll tell you
Thank you, allergies, man. Oof.
One thing.
Have been rough lately.
One thing just to say, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was awesome.
I thought you would say that.
And that's
has anybody watched Renfield yet?
No. Did not watch it yet.
Okay. Well, how about Ant-Man?
Yeah, I saw it. Which one? The last one? I very much enjoyed that. Quantumania?
I will try to catch them both.
But yeah. Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Fun movie, but damn, man, it's a tearjerker from the start to the end.
Well, they're planning on making it the end, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, no, it was good. All right, we got to play this out here.
Mm-hmm.
Want to thank everybody for being on. Stay safe. Stay cool, Joe. If you can.
That's what the fans for.
Joel, get ready for that summer weather.
I am.
And we'll see you all in a week. Have a happy. Here are your promos.
I am short.
Damn right. Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics.
To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint you a fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
You know, I was looking at refurbished computers, laptops. Oh,
in the Apple Store?
No, not in the Apple
Store. Oh, just refurbable.
Yeah. And I'm like,
Yeah, they're not like, that much cheaper in some cases.
I'm like, I'm looking at some of them and I'm like, man, this looks pretty good, but it's like 4 years, you know, 2016, 2017.
Right.
But I'm like, man, I bet you it still works pretty damn good. I mean, what am I complaining about? I think the systems I'm on are from then.
Well, especially with like your Macs, 2016 is just as good as like 2019.
Well, I wasn't looking at Apple products. I was looking at non-Apple, but I looked at some Dells.
It depends. 2016 used to probably want to steer away from like the i3s and stick with the i5s and i7s.
Yeah, so it's, you go like up to 2018 and then it's like another $100.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. It's tough. Oh. But then I'm like, I've been using this system here and this is probably either 2016 or 18 and it works great.
Just buy a couple of broken ones for dirt cheap and put them together and make something that works.
Right.
Refurbished. Okay, here I am on the Apple site. Refurbished 16-inch MacBook Pro, Apple M1 Pro, 10-core CPU and 16-core GPU.
I will teach you anywhere I want to, woman.
Yeah. 1929. So $1,929. So it's still, it's below, I think that's normally.
You and me are working in two different price ranges.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I'm looking at like 10% of that price range.
Yeah.
Right. I'm with you on that. But yeah, this is a $2,500 laptop. So you're saving about
50%. You know,
yeah. I mean, so it's.
We're still off by a factor.
Not a
here.
Bad deal, but still expensive. Yeah.
You're saving double what Dan wants to pay for the whole thing.
Of course. Yeah.
Dude. He's saving.
I'm saving nothing because I'm not buying it.
Or like 80, what would it be? 20% of what I want to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah. Close, Murph. Close.
Hey, I'm doing this on a Steam Deck right now and it seems to be working pretty well.
Oh, that is kind of awesome.
Interesting.
Now that's worth the money, a Steam Deck, man. I would love to get me a Steam Deck.
Right. $600.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I paid $269 for this one.
Oh, did you get it broken?
No, they were on sale a couple of weeks ago.
Is it the 64 gig?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
A replacement. So it was about $100 more to get the 256, but it's also $109 to get a 1 terabyte that'll fit in this from Micro Center. So
right.
There you go.
I went cheap.
Yeah, yeah. You can just DD the image over and expand it once it's over, probably.
No, as long as you got a docking station, you got a full-on frickin' computer there.
Yep.
I didn't get the docking station, but I've got a...
That's what USB-C is for.
Oh, yeah, I've got a little USB-C hub. I've got a monitor hooked up. I'm using a Bluetooth keyboard, but I'm actually using a regular mouse, and it's a pretty capable little machine for what it is.
Dang it, you're making me want one even more.
I can almost justify that price for a Steam Deck.
Yeah, should have grabbed a couple weeks ago. They were on sale.
Yeah, they'll be on sale again.
Extra 10% off.
I'll pick up a used one somewhere. Well, one of these days. It's not like I need another computer right now, even at that price.
Well, my laptop is ailing right now, so I either need to figure out what I need to do to fix it or maybe get something else.
Get a new one.
It just overheats periodically. It works good most of the time, and it's
let's just take it apart, replace it with thermal paste, put it back together. Make sure all your fans spin.
Yeah, that did not do the trick. All the fans spin, replace the thermal goop. Everything looked good.
Oh.
Still, it crashes. Okay. Like the video, I get a big diagonal line down the screen, and half the screen will freeze, the other half will flicker, and it's toast.
One of two things. Either your graphics card is going, in which case the whole damn thing is toast. Right. Or you have a capacitor that's getting really, really hot and causing all these issues. Not quite a dead short, but it's close enough that it's causing you severe problems. The only thing that's going to find that is a thermal camera.
Yeah, it's Intel internal graphics. That's why I was thinking about replacing the CPU if the graphics are in the CPU.
Yeah.
Right.
But I can try the thermal gun, but of course I'm only going to get what's exposed on the bottom. So
right.
I think I did that in the past and nothing really stuck out for me.
Hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I just assume keep using this thing for a while. It's got enough power. I've got 16 gigs of RAM, and I can stuff it full of storage. It's got two SATA ports in it, old SATA.
Right.
But if it didn't crash, I'd keep using it.
Yeah, yep. I love my 17-inch gaming laptop, even though it's only got like a 950M in it. So it's aging now. But you know,
it's got the
M SATA slot in it, so that's where the 500 gigs and you know that's where the both operating systems sit, and then it's got the internal 2.5-inch slot, and then it's got the formerly a CD tray that got turned into another 2.5-inch slot. So it's got a lot of storage in it.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a 17-inch screen and that much storage, it isn't all that portable for very long.
Right. I need to pick up
I had four and a quarter terabytes in this at one point. I had two terabyte SATAs and the 250 that it came with. But same thing with this. The battery's pretty shot. I've got two batteries. One's at like 50%, the other's at like 70%.
Oh, it's still one of those ones where you can actually have a removable battery. Yeah.
No,
nice.
My MSI, if you want to replace the battery, you got to take off the whole bottom and remove a whole bunch
same
of
here.
Screws.
Yeah, I can replace the battery in my Asus ROG laptop. But no, it's not one of those. I'd have to take it apart every time to do it. So that's not happening.
But my 1GX, you know, the battery lasts a good long time on that. But you guys wouldn't like it. You would not like the 1GX. The screen is way too small.
I should get my Asus ROG laptop has an empty M2 slot. I should get another one in there.
Yeah,
When the SSD that was in there went out, I bought a terabyte to put in it.
My 1GX has like 500 gig built onto the board, and then it's got a slot for I think either a 2242 or a 2230. I think it's a 2242.
Okay. I will say this: if you have an M2 capable machine, I like the Samsung drive. I have the 980 Evo, I think.
Yeah, the Evos are nice.
Let me double check. It's either
but
the 980 or the 970.
You don't notice the difference anymore.
True.
I was just going to say, do you really see the difference between them? I've been picking up the Micro Center Inland in-house brands, which are
$20 ones. Love those.
Yeah, I pick them up. Well, that was where I got the 2 terabyte for, so it was more than $20, but I got a decent deal on it.
They have those in M2?
No.
No, this doesn't have M2. This is old school SATA, so.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well,
okay.
Like, my kids will have their hard drives go bad, or I will pick up a laptop that'll have a bad hard drive. I walk in there, I'm getting 128 gig SSD, but I'm getting it for $20.
And if they're on sale, you do even better than that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just upgrade to 256 and get that for $20.
Oh, my the one I just bought was the Samsung 970 Evo Plus SSD, the M2 format. Real pleased with it.
And if my 2.5-inch, you know, SSD dies, what do I care? I paid $20 for it.
Yep. And that drive is $60 on Amazon right now. I should pick up another one.
I always need more 2230s and 2242s.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot more 2230s than they do 2242s, so maybe I'll just stock up on the 2230s and get some adapters.
Yep. Oh, that format, the little teeny tiny ones. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still M.2. It's just, you know, most of your M.2 is 2280. And then the 2242 and the 2230 tends to fit in some
these won't fit in mine, some tablets. Yeah, these and won't fit in mine.
And the Steam Deck. What's that, you, right. 2242?
To tell you the truth, I don't recall off the top of my head. They had a couple. Micro Center had them. It said certified for the Steam Deck or whatever. Okay. So it had to be the right form factor.
Actually,
I didn't know which one it was.
This Inland one, 2230, cost more than the one I just bought.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's see. 1004. And just as we'll start, get everything ready to go, that's when Joel will pop up.
Yeah, he's probably doing church stuff again.
Now the question is, will he have picked something up to eat on the way home, or will he have it delivered?
Well, he was out and about, so he'll probably pick it up on his way home.
You think? What do you think he's going to
do? Yeah. Probably not McDonald's. Arby's?
I think he did Wendy's last week. Was that it? Was that what he did last week? Wendy's?
I don't know. I wasn't on the show last week. I had to do block walking.
Was it? But I don't think he picked it up. I think he had it delivered.
Did he make his son deliver it?
No.
That would make me laugh.
I don't... I'm thinking it was Wendy's last week. I don't know. I truly think it's going to be a toss-up between Wendy's and McDonald's, Joe. I don't know. Arby's?
If he was going for the delivery, I might say McDonald's. But if he's out and about, he's going to say to himself, I want to pick something a little better than McDonald's. Because McDonald's has gotten pretty bad in the last couple of years. Like, really bad.
Well,
and expensive for how bad it is. They don't even have a dollar menu anymore.
It's a value menu, isn't it?
That doesn't have any value.
Well,
if I wanted to eat cardboard, I could just go grab some boxes.
I don't even know if they have a value menu anymore, do they?
I have no clue. I haven't been to McDonald's in so long.
McDonald's are the worst fucking burgers ever.
They have the worst food. They don't even have good fries anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It used to be better.
No, I remember McDonald's in the 80s being pretty damn good.
I remember when I was a kid. The burgers were good.
I was going to say, is it because you were a kid that it was good?
It's entirely possible.
I don't think so. I think part of the problem with McDonald's is they're all afraid that people are going to get sick from the meat not being cooked enough, so they cook the shit out of it now.
The hot
like a piece of fucking leather.
I remember the 80s, because it was in the 90s that the burgers got to be really, really flat. And then, like, they didn't have the seeds on the bun anymore. And I remember the tiny slices of diced onion that they used to have. Used to actually have some flavor to them.
They don't do the diced onion anymore?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember.
Right? You don't
know. I don't know. I haven't had it in a really long time.
You know who would know?
Joel.
I don't know what he's doing hanging out there at the Root.
There he is. Oh, we got a piss poor connection again.
Wait, where did he go? It must be that piss poor connection. Woo! We'll give him another minute. Then we'll start without his dad. Oh, man. Ah. Gotta make the announcement.
What announcement?
Southeast Linux Fest.
Oh, I thought you were going to say life sucks, and I was going to be like, I know.
Southeast Linux Fest sent out an announcement today? 10th, yesterday.
I keep waiting for notifications for Texas Linux Fest to start back up, but I haven't seen crap.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen.
No Texas Linux Fest.
They called, and they said...
They told you they weren't doing it no more.
They said, no more! After what Joe pulled.
Those bastards.
Yeah.
Look, those nobody bastards. Ended up dead when I was there. What can I say?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't until after.
What was for dinner tonight, Joe?
You know what? After it wasn't my problem.
BK.
Burger King! Whoa.
Oh, we were betting Arby's. And we had questions about McDonald's.
Arby's, they never have any meat here.
Like, does McDonald's still do those really tiny diced onions that they put as a topping on a burger?
I'm sure they do. Dehydrated onions.
Oh, because I seem to remember those little tiny dices of onion almost the size of relish.
There's little flavor crystals.
Diced Burn onions and a tangy pickle.
Tangy pickle.
I always ordered mine, no pickles.
One of their melt sandwiches, the spicy one that had jalapenos on it.
From McDonald's? Or Burger King?
Burger King.
Because we were talking about how much McDonald's sucks these days.
But it all depends on the store.
I can't even think of there being a Burger King around me for me to check out and see if it sucks. I mean, there's plenty of Wendy's. There's plenty of Chipotle.
I'd rather had like actually tomorrow I'll get whatever I want because Luke's got bowling and they leave before I get off work.
Taco Bell, Sonic. There's lots of Sonics around here.
My wife can eat Taco Bell every freaking day.
Carl's Jr. Some of the stuff from Taco Bell is pretty good, but within like a block and a half of all the Taco Bells, there's usually a Chipotle, and if I had to choose between
Chipotle every day.
Bowl, yeah,
every day.
Mm-hmm. I'm there with you.
I wanted to cook yesterday, but I was just so exhausted yesterday.
I had Taco Cabana the other day.
Taco Cabana? I've never heard of that one.
Oh, man. I heard of Rex from Taco Cabana.
I heard of Taco John's, one of those.
Okay. Taco Cabana is less a fast food restaurant and more a chain Mexican restaurant.
There you go.
And
which we hardly have any of those anymore. Because Chi-Chi's is gone. Chi-Chi's was good in the day.
Well, there's still Chico's. Chico's Tacos?
Now, I'm trying to figure out, is Habaneros a chain?
Yeah, there's one
yeah, there's one down by my dad's. It doesn't feel like a chain. It feels more like a Fiesta Mariachi up here, which is a small chain. They got two restaurants. That's it.
Well, Taco Cabana is good. Taco Casa is crap.
It's like here we got one called El Vaquero.
Vaquero.
Yeah, and they're they're the kind of Mexican place you go if you don't want any spice. As
but you
still most
have flames
stuff,
shooting out your ass.
No, not even that. Not even their hot sauce is that hot.
Well,
it's kind of bland, actually.
I was talking about food quality at that point.
Oh, well, yeah. They do have carnitas there, which I do like.
Oh, there's a couple carnitas? Of street taco places up the road from
those
here.
Those are the best. Those
oh,
are the
yeah,
best, actually.
Yeah. One of the gas stations, one of the street taco ladies kind of took over a little cooking section
ooh.
There like they have in the Come and Go.
I just thought of something. I should probably make some carne guisada.
Carne asada?
Guisada. Yeah, G-U-I-S-A-D-A. It's Puerto Rican.
Okay.
Yes. It's got sofrito sauce and sazon in it and forget what all else. I've made it before.
Some chili relenos.
There you go. Stuffed chilies. Mm. Green cheese or cheddar?
Yes. How about both?
Both.
Line them up.
I don't blame you. I should make some shotgun shells on the pit boss. It's basically...
Mole, I want some mole.
Hamburger and... cheese stuffed into a ricotta shell, and then you wrap that with bacon and you season it, and then you put like barbecue sauce on it, and then you cook it on the pit boss till the pasta's nice and soft and they kind of look a little bit like a shotgun shell.
Oh, and tamales. I haven't had good tamales in so long.
Oh, man. Yeah,
you're
right, man.
They sell some at like Walmart, but it's Walmart selling them, and they're more corn than they are innards. And I don't know how. How do you make tamales sweet? Why would you make tamales sweet?
Maybe if you put some sugar in the cornmeal
it's
dough,
disgusting.
But yeah. I'm trying to remember. No, they're not. The ones I get at Sam's Club aren't sweet. I don't know.
I'm going to drive to El Paso just to walk up to a Walmart to buy my chili relenos and then walk up to some guy's trunk to
get the tamales.
To get the tamales.
And
at least
sopapilla.
Three different flavors of tamales.
And sopapilla for dessert. Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Whatever on sopapillas. You can pick those pretty much anywhere. It's really, really
true.
Hard to fuck up sopapillas.
Oh, totally. It's what? Honey, dough, and
fry
maybe some cinnamon.
Some sugar and cinnamon on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so tomorrow I'm kind of on my own, so I can get whatever I want.
Well, get a happy ending massage.
Except for that. Oh, it's like okay, you've heard of the Massage Envy chain, right? We have a few of those here. The one in Grove City is particularly bad ratings. And every time I go into the app to try and see if I can't reserve a time, I've never had one yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Had a what?
Massage. Happy ending massage.
Oh
no!
He knows a happy ending
massage
parlor, and he keeps trying to set up an appointment.
That's not
a
chain, man. That's where they do.
Hey, chains
honest
do,
to God.
Chains do happy ending massages too. Hey.
What chain you going to?
Massage Envy.
Okay, no. I'll tell you what. Massage Envy does not do happy ending.
I was gonna say. I know that.
I'll tell you
but
what, man.
But the one by my house, though, they never have a slot open, ever.
I'll tell you
it's
what.
It's strange.
When you get a massage, man, it's going to ruin you the rest of your life.
Probably right.
It's going to be so, you're going to want to go back.
Oh, it's like, it's like
so good.
It's like when you go to a really, really good chiropractor and then you go back.
I don't want to go to a chiropractor.
Once a week.
That assumes I have to get an adjustment on my spine and I don't want to need that.
For 6 months?
Oh. Yeah.
And then and then you have to stop because insurance quits paying.
That's right.
And you're like, oh my God, it hurts so much now.
My wife had to do that after, when we were just after we were married. She was on her way home from somewhere, calls me and says she was in an accident, so I leave work, get everything covered.
You've never had your back adjusted?
Not myself, no, I've never been in an accident or injured my back that bad.
No, you probably, look, that type of stuff builds up over time, even if you don't realize it. You should go get your back adjusted.
Yeah.
Little push here, little snap there.
I'm just fine going to, since I'm a Black Card member, sitting in the hydro massage chair, and I like to do that on the weekends.
Those are
awesome.
I did try to go and win a year's worth of black, because I don't want to pay for it right now. Even at the $24 a month with the $100
worth
of fees.
Of all the extra things they have, that's probably one of the best is the hydro massage.
And the tanning.
I don't tan. That's usually, you know, I don't want to have to get cancer.
You can get the spray tan, too.
Ugh.
And you know what that does? When you go outside, it prevents you from, you know, dying of sun cancer.
Yeah, but then I'd be orange.
Well.
All right, Carrot Top, let's start this show.
Yes, please.
1004.